My guest at this time is Larry Pratt. He is the Executive Director at Gun Owners of America. He joins us today to talk about an aspect of the gun debate that was kind of overshadowed, since much of the debate happened at the same time the gun effort up on Capitol Hill was playing out. But there was a vote earlier this year at the General Assembly of the United Nations that approved the United Nations Small Arms Treaty. Earlier this month, just a few days ago, Secretary of State John Kerry said that the administration would sign this treaty. It still needs two-thirds approval from the U.S. Senate, which is extremely unlikely. But Larry is here now to explain what this treaty would do. And, sir, thank you very much for being with us.
Hey, Greg. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, in explaining why he is supportive of the administration embracing this treaty and the president signing it, Kerry said this: "We look forward to signing it as soon as the process of conforming the official translations is completed satisfactorily." He called the treaty an important contribution to efforts to stem the illicit trade in conventional weapons, which fuels conflict, empowers violent extremists, and contributes to violations of human rights. So he and many at the UN are basically describing this as a crackdown on weapons trafficking among bad guys. So what do you make of that characterization?
First of all, it's probably helpful to understand who's the good guys and who's the bad guys at the UN. The UN is, of course, made up of the different governments or of countries around the world. Most of those governments are at best crooked and often dictatorial, tyrannical, and just horrible to have anything to do with. When they talk about keeping guns out of the wrong hands, they're talking about keeping guns out of the hands of the people that might seek their freedom from these horrible governments. So for us to sign a treaty like that is for the United States to, in effect, sanitize, to approve of these governments, which we do anyway by being part of the UN, and give them morally a stronger hand in oppressing their people. For us to sign the treaty, it certainly is not going to put the treaty in effect here, but once 50 countries have signed in a treaty, then it's considered to be part of international law. And while it doesn't technically bind countries that have not signed it, it puts them under increasing pressure. Some of these countries would, of course, welcome the opportunity to say, well, we've got to conform to international law. And I kind of suspect that the current government here in the United States would love to make such an argument.
And we've heard from at least Justice Kennedy in the past. I don't know about other justices currently on the court in using international law in their rationale. So do you believe, even if the Senate rejects this, which seems almost certain, that there's still a threat here for the United States?
I think you put your finger on a big part of it. The courts could certainly use that. I think Ginsburg is another that has happily cited foreign law and opinions that she has written on the Supreme Court. So this is not a small matter, and I think this is going in the wrong direction. We should be getting out of the UN. We should stop supplying 25% of the budget for an organization that, among its other distinctions, was to preside over the genocide that occurred in Rwanda, taking nearly a million people's lives. UN, quote, peacekeepers would actually send people fleeing the massacres back into the hands of those that they were fleeing from. That's how horrible the UN is. And for us to be part of it means we don't have a problem with genocide. That's exactly why the peoples of the world need their guns, so that they can protect themselves from their own governments. That's why we have a Second Amendment. We used our Second Amendment before it was called the Second Amendment. We told King George, we've had enough. You've become a rebel against Magna Carta, against the Bill of Rights of 1686, against all the contracts that we have with you, the charters that established our governments here in British America. So we're just going to leave the word America, and we're kicking the word British right back to England. Bye-bye.
We're talking with Larry Pratt, the Executive Director at Gun Owners of America. And Larry, let's just speculate for the moment that the courts did, in fact, recognize this international law. What would that mean for the average American who would seek to purchase a fire?
Well, our government, if it were to implement the terms of the treaty, would have to set up a national gun registration and licensing scheme so that it could make its due diligence in knowing where every gun is sold and bought. The idea being that if you lose track of them inside the country, they might go outside the country, and who knows, they might end up in the hands of some poor Rwandan trying to save his life from his own government. And we can't have that. Our own government hasn't had a problem putting guns in the hands of the Mexican cartel, leading to the death, the murder of at least 400 Mexicans. So it seems to me that if there's any gun control that's needed, it's control of our own government by we the people.
There are now reports suggesting that there are already 60 countries that have signed on to this, so the United States is just adding on to the pile here, and so we'll see if there's a legal fight coming down the pike here. Larry, do you expect this particular part of the gun debate to enter into the debate that played out in the Senate in recent weeks, or is this kind of a separate entity and not really part of that fight?
I don't know that Harry Reid would like to have his Democrats vote on another gun measure. There's already a bunch of them that could be in trouble. Eight of the Democrats that voted for the Republican Toomey gun control bill are in Republican states. That vote could well put them in some political difficulty. I don't think they want to add to that difficulty. So if they're going to try to have the Senate look at this bill, I would be surprised if they did it before the elections next year.
Well, we'll certainly be watching that, as well as whether any of the previous debate in the Senate is resurrected, which is the prerogative of the majority right now. Larry, thank you very much for being with us.
Great. Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. Larry Pratt is the executive director at Gun Owners of America. For more information on their work, you can head to gunowners.org or call 888-886-GUNS. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.